I took a college class almost 2 years ago now that talked about how nature itself is a construct. It's our concept of nature. When we say nature or natural, that word connotes things that are based on our ideas of religion and our society and our culture, capitalism to some extent. And of course, the same is true with the idea of gender. Gender is really a construct. And so it makes sense that for me as an author who has written books, I've been published now for well over 20 years, that in writing books, I can see the stories and the stories we tell about ourselves and the story arcs that we create in our mind. And the more I do my personal inner work, the more I realize that a lot of these stories I constructed myself. And that's what makes up the concept of a spiritual story. And so that's what we're going to talk about this week on the Feather Mane Soul Wisdom Show, is what is a spiritual story and why does it matter? You're listening to Feather Mane Soul Wisdom, a podcast designed for people looking to live embodied lives and find their authentic selves. This show is hosted by Kit Kailstow, body theologian and spiritual mentor. If you're looking to get in touch with your inner spirit, then this show is for you. Thanks for listening. And now, this week's show. I've been thinking a lot about what is a spiritual story, what does it mean to have a spiritual story, and how exactly can I define a spiritual story so that other people understand what I'm talking about? And, you know, it's really difficult to come up with a specific definition of a spiritual story. For the first part, everybody has a different idea of what spirituality is. And I would argue that, you know, with that being said, spirituality is somewhat of a construct that we create based on kind of what our expectations are of that. I feel like I have to begin this conversation by actually defining spirituality. Longtime listeners will know I'm a huge fan of going out to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary and getting the dictionary definition and starting from there. The good news is I've done that so much for spirituality, I don't have to actually do that here. What I can tell you is that most common dictionary definitions of spirituality is simply a connection to something larger than yourself or something outside of yourself. And I like that definition. That is a broad definition. To me, especially as somebody who knows and has had training on the energy body, the prana, your koshas being the various levels of your body going out from your physical energetic body all the way down into your bliss body, which could be translated to your soul. That is actually part of Hindu philosophy and something that's talked about a lot with yoga and breath work. And I hope to bring more of that to you. But whether you're looking at, you know, koshas and chakras, or whether you're just looking at a connection to the wider world, I love to give the explanation of looking up at the night sky and seeing the stars. And I don't know about you, but if you're in a place where there's not a lot of ambient light, and I'm blessed, we live out here in the middle of nowhere, and we do not have any big yard lights or any outdoor lighting other than some small solar light. So we're able to go off into various parts of our property where it is really dark. And you can look up at the sky and see a zillion stars. I mean, so many you can't count them. And it's just gorgeous to see the Milky Way weaving its way across the sky. There's the utter beauty of that that just kind of fills you with awe, or what religious scholars would say, a sense of the numinous, the spiritual. But also there's the idea that we're connected. We are on our planet, which, you know, it's not tiny. It's not Mercury sized. It's not a gas giant like Jupiter, but it's a big planet. I mean, it would take us a very long time if we wanted to travel around the world. I mean, even if you did it in like a plane, it would take you, I believe, more than a day. So we're on this rock, this moderate-sized rock, circling our sun, which is one of billions of suns, stars. And when you look up in the night sky like that, it connects you. You're just like, oh, wow. There's at once the sense of just how tiny and small us humans and our human lives are, and a sense of wonder and grandeur. And that, to me, is spirituality, being connected to that sense of wonder and grandeur. I want to pause for a moment. Notice what I'm not talking about with spirituality. I am not talking about religion. Regardless of what you believe in regards to the divine, the soul, or any theological question, spirituality and religion are almost two totally separate things. Because spirituality is that sense of connection, and that connection with something outside of us, which means we can find it in community. When you go to the farmer's market and you see the beautiful produce and you're connected and everybody's there to get fresh produce and pretty much just celebrate the bounty of the area where you live. And you meet, you know, nice crafters and people who are, you know, niche little homestead farmers. Just the tapestry of humanity. There's a connection to community there. And that connection to community, wait for it, is spirituality, because you're connected to something outside yourself. So, okay, we've pretty much covered that spirituality is not religion as you or I may think of an actual, like, named religion. Spirituality is simply the sense of connection to something outside of or beyond us. And I would argue that that would be a connection to the universe, to our higher selves. Use whatever words feel good to you. That's the joy of this. We each can put it in our own language and have this common thread of connection. So what is your spiritual story? Well, your spiritual story is the story that you tell yourself and the story that you tell others. They may be the same story. They may be different stories. They are most likely stories in progress. But it's the story that you tell yourself about your connection with something larger than and outside of yourself. That's it. Now, just like a fictional story, how you craft that, how you put words to that, what terms you use, all of that is up to your own personal interpretation. It's like, think about a genre. And since I wrote and published romance books for a while, I'm going to use romance as a great example. Somebody who is outside the romance genre pretty much says, oh, they're all the same. All those harlequins, they are all the same. And while you can't argue that they don't follow a similar narrative structure, in the business, we call these beats. And there are certain beats that a romance novel has to hit to feel satisfying to the reader. And I could go through them here with you. You know, the couple has to meet. There has to be a building of the romance between them. There's usually something that tries to push them apart, and then they overcome it. And there's at least a happy for now, if not happily ever after type ending. There's at least a, yeah, we're going to work together and see what kind of life we can build together. And even something like that can be a satisfying romantic ending for your reader. And honestly, these days, it's probably the most realistic. So when we think about our spiritual story, even though we all have these spiritual stories that are about our connection to something larger than or beyond ourselves, what we bring to those stories, just like what each author brings to the books that they write, that part, if that's all you and your life experiences and what you want to be connected to and maybe what you don't want to be connected to, there's a whole lot going on there. And so that's why a few episodes ago, I talked about the spiritual buffet table. because what I have needed in order to connect with myself may be different than what you need or how I approach meditation or yoga. And the reasons why I do meditation or yoga are going to be slightly different or a lot different than the reasons why you do meditation or yoga or tapping or Reiki or energy work or use tarot cards or any, you know, or connect with nature or the horses. I feel like I have to list everything I do, but that would be a very long list. Each one of those serves a different purpose in crafting your spiritual story. And each one of those can help you create a specific thread of that spiritual story. I like to keep my podcast around 20 minutes, and I'm already halfway through that. So I don't know that I'm going to get to everything I want to talk about here this afternoon. But hey, that's why I have a weekly podcast. I also want to encourage you that if, as I'm talking, you think of questions, you have thoughts you want to share, there is a comment form on the podcast. You can reach out to me through social media, through the contact form on my website at feathermainsoul.com. I love to hear from you. These are the things that I love to talk about. And these are the things that we're going to constantly grow and evolve together. So the spiritual story, first of all, the most intimate spiritual story is the one you tell yourself. And the spiritual story that you tell yourself is based on how you see yourself, based on how other people see you and what you've internalized from that. It's based on how you were raised, your community, how your community saw you. It's based on what happened to you at school, what's happened to you in the workforce. It's based on your identities. Are you late diagnosed neurodivergent? Are you late realized queer? Are you a late realized trans person? All of these things are going to shift how you see yourself and how you work on your spiritual story. And so what that means is that before you even try to explain your spiritual story to other people, there's a lot of unlearning, a lot of peeling back the layers. And the spiritual story I think of as, you know, like an onion. An onion, you can take off each layer. You can go deeper and deeper. And eventually there's a core or a heart. And that is your true authentic self. Ideally, we want to get to a situation where we can show our true authentic self to everybody we meet. There are many cases when that's not possible. That might not be safe. That might not be something that you can deal with because of a current employment situation, community situation, political situation, and all of that ties into the mix that becomes your spiritual story. All of that affects how you see yourself. All of that affects everything. And so the spiritual story doesn't stay in a nice, neat container. Your spiritual story is going to spill out into other areas of your life, and other areas of your life are going to spill over into your spiritual story. And I think that's why one of my biggest pushes right now is the breaking down of walls. That, for example, yoga and meditation, they have become almost prescriptions here in the Western world. That you can, you know, prescribe yoga for stress, prescribe meditation for anxiety. And I'm not going to lie, those things help. They help me with my stress, with my anxiety, with my chronic PTSD. They help, but they do more than, they're not a Band-Aid. They work better than a Band-Aid, because if you actually approach them in a multifaceted way, they can power real transformation. It's one thing to say, well, I'm going to meditate 3 to 4 times a week to reduce my anxiety. You fill out the little quantitative quiz. You know, you might be part of a study. We'll say you're part of a study. And so, you know, before you take the study, you fill out your life experiences, you fill out your anxiety scales, your depression scales, you write down your meditation, maybe you journal a little bit about what came up or how that made you feel. And at the end of the study, you fill out your depression scale, your anxiety scale. And the person running the study looks at this and says, well, your anxiety went from a 7 or an 8 every day down to a 4 or 5. That's wonderful. They put that in their little spreadsheet. They run their statistics and ta-da, you know, based on your p-values and your margin of error and all those statistic terms that I had to learn in psych statistics, they spit out a study. And the study is held up by everybody who wants to promote yoga or meditation as, hey, this is a good methodology. This is a good prescription for your anxiety or depression. And on in the Western world, we go about our lives. I really am trying not to minimize or oversimplify that. But that's very much putting on my almost psychology degree hat. I've got one class left to finish that bachelor's degree, which I hope to finish by the end of 2026. But, you know, putting on that psychology hat, that's pretty much how it works. And putting on my religious studies hat, and I would almost argue my body theologian hat, because there's a difference, and maybe that'll be another podcast, between academic religious studies and theology. So it's a difference I've actually had to learn over the last few years. So with my body theology hat on, with my body theologian hat on, then I look at this person and I think, well, yes, they've engaged in a practice which demonstrably and quantitatively reduces their stress, engages their parasympathetic nervous system, and lowers their anxiety, eases their depression, all wonderful things. I do not want to diminish or to dismiss this in any way, shape, or form. But I can also look at this and say, you know, if we were to talk, do like ministerial counseling or ministerial spiritual direction, spiritual direction is actually the term that I would prefer for the work that I do. So talking in a spiritual direction standpoint, then we're going to find out that this person meditating, if they chose to go in and start peeling back the layers of the onions, saw maybe they were identifying themselves with their job. And so to do this, they started realizing that, no, they had worth and value outside of their employment. That they have worth and value outside of what people say about them or outside of what family or friends say. And when you think about that, that connection with something bigger than ourselves, something outside of ourselves. So that's that connection with our higher self, our authentic selves. If we're looking at it as kind of like a perfect forms type philosophical methodology. And so, you know, this person is no longer identifying their worth with their work. This person is realizing that when they take time to breathe, to relax, that things go better, that there are some things they can't control. Worrying doesn't affect the outcome. And so it's kind of good and cathartic to let go of what we can't control. Things like the weather, things like, I want to say what our government does, but to some extent you can try to control that through your votes and through civic participation. But at some point you got to release attachment. Do the Buddhist releasing attachment, because the attachment is what brings sorrow. And it took me a long time to get that. And that is totally going down as another podcast idea. But that person, on one hand, again, did this big psychology study, quantitatively got the prescription that they needed. But they were also working on their spiritual story. I really was going somewhere with that, I promise. So they were working on their spiritual story. And you could throw around, you know, different therapies, CBT, which I'm not a big fan of. I prefer dialectical behavior therapy. I prefer radical acceptance and commitment therapy. But you could throw around all these different therapies and you could use the scientific language. But I also find that that scientific language, especially for those of us who haven't had good experiences with mental health professionals, kind of puts us off. And so for me, I prefer to call it my spiritual story. It is my story of how I'm connected to myself, how I'm connected to others, and how I'm connected to the world and beyond. And for me, that story does involve a sense of divinity. I am pagan. I'm a polytheist. I believe in the gods, but not in an omnipotent, they control everything, although I somehow have free will sort of way, but rather in a, hey, we are all just walking each other home. We are on we may be on different levels. We may be dealing with different energies, but it's like me and the cats. If you hear background noise, Strudel, one of the office cats here, he came up on the desk for love as he often does this time of the afternoon, and his tags are kind of clinking against the desk. So if you hear a little background noise, I am not editing my buddy Strudel out of this podcast. But you know, you take your pet cat, take Strudel here. Strudel and I can't speak English to one another. We can't sit down and have heartfelt conversations. What I can do is hopefully through my care, you know, food, water, cleaning litter boxes, brushing him. I'm petting the back of his head right now. He's got his eyes closed and he's kind of derpy. So he's got his teeth out, you know, but he's clearly into this. You know, hopefully he knows through my actions that I love him and that I care for him. But we're just walking each other home. His journey home will unfortunately be shorter than mine because cats unfortunately have shorter lifespans than we do. A lot of love packed into those that short amount of time usually. Usually a couple of decades if you're lucky, often less. But, you know, even though we're not speaking the same language, like scientifically, we're speaking the same language spiritually. We're speaking that language of love, of compassion, of caring for our fellow beings on this planet, even if these beings are a derpy little orange cat, or not so little in the case of Strudel. But I hope, you know, I'm running over my 20 minutes. I barely scratched the surface. Oh goodness, I barely scratched the surface. So I'm hoping that this helps you understand a bit more what I mean when I talk about a spiritual story. And I would love to hear your thoughts on your spiritual story or what you think even of the concept. I want you to take care of yourself. I want you to be kind to yourself. If you can, wherever you're hearing my voice, please don't forget to like or subscribe. That really helps get the message out. If this has moved you, I encourage you to share it with your circles and with your communities. And, you know, head on over to feathermanesoul.com/show or hit that podcast link at the top of the page. That'll list all of my episodes. If you want to be a guest, if you have questions, if you want to donate to keep the show on the air, all of that is there. I look forward to bringing you more information about spiritual stories and about spiritual direction in general, especially if you're neurodivergent or queer or disabled. And until next time, be kind to yourself and find magic. You've been listening to the Feather Mane Soul Wisdom Podcast, hosted by Kit Kailstow. Learn more about Feather Mane Soul at feathermanesoul.com. Kit's passionate about embodied living and finding authentic joy by connecting with yourself and others. Kit loves working with neurodivergent, chronically ill, or disabled individuals, as well as anyone who wants to reclaim the stories and find new stories for them. Music is Running with the Horses by Purple Planet Music. This podcast is hosted on the Muse Charmer Media Network. Find out more by visiting the podcast website and following the links to Muse Charmer. Please don't forget to like, subscribe, or follow the podcast at your favorite podcast listening or social media site. Thank you.